Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Dale, Minister of 12th Hour Apostle, Catholic Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, and the Oak and Texas. Today is May the 18th, 2024, or it is the 11th day of Sivan, 2028. We're going to do a first service on this Sabbath with a song and then with a prayer song, and we'll go into our sermon. 2TG, number 31, by V.T. Hollow. The Restoration and the Time is the title of our sermon. Acts 3:19-21. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Yeshua, the Son. Because he's going to be here in person. And especially for the antitypical Pentecost. And we have the antitypical Pentecost coming up tonight, the 19th of May. Now that's tomorrow. Whom the heaven must receive until the time of the restitution of all things that the Yahweh has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Here we are told that the heavens must receive the Yahshua, not forever, but until the times of the restitution of all things. He is therefore at the time of the restitution to return unto the earth. But where is he going to return to? Where his kingdom of David is set up at. And wherever that's at, that's where he's returning to. Shall this returning be unexpected? Or shall the Yahshua first send someone for the preparing of his way? And if someone is to precede his coming, who will it be? Well, we know by now that it will be the antitypical Elijah of Malachi 4:5. And he answered and told them, Elijah verily cometh first and restoreth all things. Mark 9:12. For the Yahshua moreover through the prophet Malachi declared. Malachi 3:1 and 4 verse 5. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Yahshua of the host. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua. So now how many people read this? They say, well, Elijah's in heaven, so he's going to send Elijah from heaven back down to this earth to prepare the way. But in Yahshua's day, his front runner was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, Yahshua told the disciple that he was the Elijah. But the Pharisees said it had to come first before the Messiah could come. And he told his disciple, he said, I'll tell you right now, Elijah's already come. And they proceeded, he's talking about John the Baptist. Alright. So here the scriptures point out that someone in the spirit and power of the Elijah, the prophet, is first to appear and will not only prepare the way, but will also restore all things. Okay. Plainly, the message of the Elijah that restore all things in the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the day of the restitution of all things, the day the Yahshua comes unto his temple, that is the Seventh-day Adventist Church, wherever they are teaching present truth, and that would be at Gilead Center, Carmel, Texas, 2002, at the Passover, where the spirit of the Elijah was a spirit against idolatry, and his power was a power to destroy those who led into the idolatry and to bring about purity.
Malachi 3.
So it says, here the scripture points out that someone in the spirit and power of the Elijah, the prophet, is first to come. Okay. It says Malachi 3:2-3, about who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears. For he is like a refiner of fire, and like the fuller of soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. Okay. And purge them as gold and silver, that they may be offered unto the Yahshua an offering in righteousness. At this coming, he is not to take the saints to the mansions above, but he is to purify the sons of Levi. The ministry. Okay. So now, the first ministry that was purified was at Kermit, Texas, 2002. He purified the ministry of Gilead Center. Brother Johnson was the prophet, and he was completely taken out, his leadership taken out, and his son sought to carry on the creation calendar and publish it for a few years, but his son died in 2024. It's this past, or 2023, of December. And his wife, Rebecca, she died on June of 2023. So it says right here, he is to destroy, yes, sure, is to destroy the leaders of the idolatry. That's all it says. Whoever in the house of Israel is leading, practicing idolatry, he's going to destroy them. Well, we know that Brother Johnson and his wife, he allowed his wife to lead out in the practice of idolatry under the Gilead Center for 33 and a half years. And when he was put to the test to acknowledge that it was idolatry that they were doing, he acknowledged it. He said, yeah, but he says, we did it for a different reason. We did for social reasons, for our children that are not coming to church anymore. We go and visit them on their birthdays and take birthday celebrations with them. Well, that wasn't given up by idolatry. Since the purity of his service is first to be restored, the restoration therefore commences in the house of Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, as it is today. This is the Edenic state of the peace and security to be restored, for we are told that, Isaiah 11:6-9, The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the chick, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed the young one, shall be lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the winged child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahshua as the waters cover the sea. There you have it. Beat the heart of it immediately. Says that as soon as you destroy idolatry in the kingdom and get it purged out, Yahshua will purge out the ringleaders of idolatry. Just that soon, you will have an Edenic atmosphere, a purified atmosphere. Once you have that separation between the idol worshippers and those that be not idol worship. So it says, so it was in Eden, and so it must be again if all things are to be restored. And you're not going to start restoring anything until you first purge the idolatry out. Once you get the idolatry purged out, then you can restore all things. And he that's, and in that day there shall be a reed of the Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and this shall the Gentile seek, and his rest shall be glorious. In that day, that is in the day, this Edenic peace and security are restored, then, not after, is the kingdom of the Judah, which is the house of David, and Israel to be restored, Ezekiel 37:16-26, and made to stand for an ensign, and it shall the Gentiles seek. This restoration of the Judah, that's the house of David, where Yahshua sits upon the throne of David in this restored kingdom. Then you have the prophecy on that, on Genesis 49:10. And Israel, therefore, takes place in the probationary time. So this lying down with the wolf and the lamb and so forth, and the lion eating straw like the ox, that's during this probationary time. For the Gentiles shall seek the ensign plainly then. The Gentiles shall still be standing when the Edenic peace and security are restored unto Yahweh's people during the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Yahshua shall be established in the top of the mountain. Okay. So the mountain of the house of Yahshua is the tribe of Judah, that is the house of David. And it's going to be established in the top of the other 11 mountains of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow under it, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up unto the mountain of the Asherah and unto the house of the Yahweh of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the Lord shall go forth of the Zion, and the word of the Asherah from Jerusalem. Micah 3:12, Micah 4:1-2. Here it is, that after the dispersion of the Jews, and after the destruction of the old Jerusalem, in the, we ought to call it the Christian era, and the typical apostolic era, the last days, that's where it would be the antiquated apostolic congregation of the David, the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver. It is that the restoration of all things takes place, and the fact that many people shall then join the Yeshua. The restoration therefore takes place in the probationary time, in the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua, for the ensign, which is made up by Yeshua and his servant under King Antipical David, too, which is none other but Antipical Elijah. And so it says, it shall then stand, and unto it shall the Gentiles seek. For the day is to be great for the righteous and dreadful for the sinners. Zechariah 14:4-5. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of the Olives, which is before the Jerusalem, on the east, and the Mount of the Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south, and you shall flee unto the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azel, yea, you shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake, in the days of Uzziah, king of the Judah. And the Yeshua shall come, and all the saints with him. With thee. And all the saints with thee. So Yeshua is going to bring the 144,000 and the house of David. He's going to bring those together, because he's bringing the 144,000 to the house of David. That's the house of David. In that day, in what day? In the day that all nations gather against Jerusalem, that now is, and bring its fall from the Gentile rule, in that day, Yahshua's feet shall stand upon the Mount of the Olives. The Mount of the Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Zechariah 14:4. The Yeshua's post-millennial coming too shall be similar to this. And this is Yeshua's post-millennial coming. It's not going to be similar to nothing. This will be Yahshua's post-millennial coming. This prophecy of Zechariah 14 being fulfilled during the probationary time. For the servants of the Yahweh shall then flee to the valley of the mountain, where Now those servants now is 144,000 where the Yahshua's feet shall stand. And all the saints with them. That is, the Yahshua's feet will open the way for the restoration of the kingdom and for the gathering of the people into it. Isaiah 11:11-14. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, from Petra, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea, and he shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel. Now this ensign for the nation is the kingdom of David. But Yahshua, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, on that banner, on that flag that's raised, and the Star of David is on it together. That's the flag of the ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of the Israel, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four corners of the earth. First he's going to gather 144,000 and all the servants of Israel from the four corners of the earth. Then he gives them the Pentecostal power, pours out upon them, and then empowers them to go and get their brethren, their Gentile brethren from all the nations and islands of the sea. For the envy also of Ephraim and shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall lie upon the shoulders of the Philistine toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon the Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. Here we see that there is to be peace in the valley of the mountains. Peace between the beast and beast, and also between the man and man. For the lion shall not hurt the lamb, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, and Ephraim shall not envy Judah. Judah and Ephraim are nevertheless to be in conflict with the countries surrounding the land. For they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines and lay hand upon the Edom and Moab. The Ammonites, though, shall obey them. Isaiah 11:15. And the Yahshua shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. Yes, the Yahshua will open the way for the gathering of his people. The exodus of today, therefore, shall be as the exodus of the yesterday, only on a greater scale. For Yahweh's people in these last days shall be gathered from every land, not from the land of Egypt. It says, Isaiah 11:16, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from the Assyria, like as it was unto Israel in the day they came out of the land of Egypt. Thus shall the kingdom of the Judah, house of the David, and Yahshua together represents the innocent, and Israel, the ten tribes, are going to be restored and be given peace and planted. Micah 4:4, but they shall all, every man sit, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of Yahshua of the host has spoken it. And now this is Yahweh's light, and this is the plea. Isaiah 2:5. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Yahshua. For the message of the Elijah that restores all things is indeed an addition to the third angel's message. And that's Elijah's message is coming from the house of David to the third, and it shall certainly swell into a loud cry. It shall gather Yahweh's people from the four corners of the earth and bring them out of the Babylon, as the earth is lightened with the glory of the angel. See Revelation 18:1-4. Okay, as the Noah's ark preserved every living thing that was to inhabit the earth after the flood, and the like manner, the restored kingdom of the Judah and Israel is together and preserved from the plagues every living thing that is to inhabit the new earth. The kingdom restored is to be the ark in our day, and her people shall live and reign 1,000 years with the Yahshua in this ark of safety. Revelation 20:4. And finally return when the earth is made new. Well, I'll say one thing, that the earth is made new before the millennium. They can say what they want to. The prophets did, and they did, but I can tell you that right now. This ark of safety, that everything is going to be preserved in the earth, to put in the earth made new, is going to be in this ark. That means there's a purified land of Israel that's going to have all of this in it. We just read about that in Zechariah 14. And then that's going to be there in this 12th parabolic hour. And the house of David and Asher are going to be the ones that are going to lead the way for the restoration of all of this. Isaiah 65:17-18:25. For behold, I will create the new heavens and the new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into the mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I will create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people as a joy, for the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and death shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain, saith Yahshua. So what's Yahshua's holy mountain? It's the mountain of Judah, the house of David. Obviously, and typical house of David. Obviously, those who seek for the entering into this ark of the safety shall live and reign with the Yahshua during 1,000 years, and those who spurn it shall be breathless in the bottomless pit until the post-millennial resurrection, only to rise in the shame and everlasting contempt subject to suffer the second death. High important then that we be not napping, but that we arise and put on the wedding garment. Now, lest we find ourselves weeping and gnashing our teeth. Even worse than did the Antediluvians outside the ark when the rains came and the lightning and thunder blasted through the sky as the fountains of the deep broke up. We have now seen that the restoration of all things begins with the gathering of the people unto Judah, the house, the kingdom of David. And that kingdom of David is represented by the prophecy in Daniel 2:44-45. In the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, left to other people. That kingdom is this kingdom of Judah. And that the kingdom is complete when the earth is made new. So the kingdom is going to be complete before we go back, before the millennium. I'm going to tell you that right now. Let us therefore do what we can to help build the ark now and to enter into it with as many souls as possible for the inspiration on revelation of this truth shows that we are approaching the day of the restitution of all things, that this is the message of the hour. Okay, so this is the end of our study for Teutonic Readings number 31. And we still have a good half, another 28 minutes for this hour. So, it says, we're going to now skip to Teutonic Reading number 33, and entitled The Cleansing of the Sanctuary, When and How Done. Well, it says, in Daniel, I guess it's 8, 13 and 14, then I heard one saint speaking, another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of the desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, under 2,300 days then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. To this question, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily and the transgression of the desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Came the answer, under 2,300 days then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. That is, within the 2,300 days, the daily shall be taken away, the transgression of the desolation, set up the sanctuary, and the host shall be trodden underfoot. After this, the sanctuary is to be cleansed. Every morning, the nurse 24 hours a day, full measure of time. For the word sanctuary does not how it goes into that. For the word sacrifice goes does belong in the text. B.T. Holler said it didn't. He was copying what Sister White said, but that doesn't make it so. Daniel 8:16-17. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uriah, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand a vision. So he came there where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, Understand, O Son of Man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. For they gave us explanation that at the time of the end shall be the vision, shows that the paramount importance of the vision is the cleansing of the sanctuary, and that it takes place not in the Daniel's time, and not before the time of the end, but after the 2300 days, in the time of the end. Okay. And now, since the 2300 days began somewhere in the 5th century before Yeshua has seen the following verses, and since the vision was to be for many days, for the time of the end, then obviously the 2300 days must be computed a day for a year, as in Ezekiel 4:6. For the 2300 days, therefore, are actually 2300 years, and the end of which the sanctuary is cleansed, or what signs are to mark the time of the end. Well, the cleansing of the sanctuary started in our day at Turner, Texas, at Gilead Center, closing out the judgment of the dead, the Advent of the Church, third feeding fasting. That was the first cleansing of the sanctuary and for the judgment of the living. And that's the second phase of the judgment of the living. First phase started in 1844 with the judgment of the dead. And now the judgment of the living started the second phase in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, Gilead Center, at the Passover, Daniel 12:4. But now, that thou, O Daniel, shut up the word and seal the book, even unto the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. For the angel explained that at the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And the fact that men are now running to and fro, and that knowledge has been increased, in itself proves that we are now living in a time of the end, that the vision is now to be understood, and that the sanctuary is now to be cleansed. So Richard Hollis thought he was the one that was given the full understanding of this cleansing of the sanctuary and the bringing to an end of the 2300 days. He thought he was going to do that, but he didn't do it. And so we now know why. Roden that succeeded V.T. Hollum in 1955, he didn't do it. He had 15 years to do it. He didn't do it. Doris Johnson then succeeded Ben Roden in 1970, and he had the 2003 to do it, and he didn't do it. And he published the Creation Calendar, restoring the old divine institution of the sanctuary. And he still didn't bring an end to the, because he was the last of the idol worshippers in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Daniel 18:21. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep, and on my face toward the ground, and he touched me and set me upright, and he said, Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last and of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. For the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of the Media and Persia. and the left goat is the king of the Grisha, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Here you see where the prophetic history of this vision began. It begins with the Medo-Persian Empire and carries us in time through the victories of the Alexander the Great, Daniel 8-23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of the fierce countenance and understanding dark senses shall stand up. And the latter end of the Medes and the Greeks, when the transgressors, that's the Jews, the Pharisees and Sadducees, are come to the full, another king or kingdom is to stand up. It was none other than Rome, as the kingdom which overran the four Grecian divisions. Daniel 8:26-27, and the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and was sick certain days. Afterwards I rose up and did the king's bidding, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Daniel here confesses that the meager explanation which the Gabriel gave concerning the vision was not sufficient. None could understand it. Consequently, as time went on, and as he still could not understand the vision, although the set time for the liberation had come, he graphically said, Daniel 9:1-3, 22-23. In the first year of the Darius, the son of Ashhesus, of the seed of the Medes, which were made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Yahshua came unto Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of the Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Yahshua, that seek by the prayer and supplication, and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And he informed me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Because Gabriel was to begin where he left off, Daniel 8, he counseled Daniel first to consider the vision. Then said Gabriel, Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, for the finishing of the transgression and for the making an end of the sins and for the making reconciliation for the iniquity and for the bringing in everlasting righteousness and for the sealing up of the vision and prophecy and for the anointing of the Most Holy. Since Gabriel is here explaining the vision of the chapter 8, the things that were to take place during the 2300 days, the 70 weeks are therefore a part of the 2300 days. Let us now study the subject with the aid of this chart. For the 70 weeks, or actually 490 years, mark that during these 490 years, Daniel's people, the Jews, were to make an end of sin and make a reconciliation for their iniquity, or else be hopelessly given up. Next, Daniel was told where the 70 weeks began. Daniel 9:25. Now therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment for the restoring and for the building of the Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous time. From the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince, the Yeshua, there was to be 7 weeks, 49 years, and 62 weeks, at 434 years, 69 weeks in all, or 483 years. History shows that the decree to build the ancient city went forth in 457 B.C. That's 483 years from 457 B.C. brings us to 27 A.D. and to the year that Yeshua as the Messiah was baptized. For this incident too proves that the 2300 days are computed as a day for a year, and that the 70 weeks are the first block of the time from within the 2300 days. Look at the chart. We should now remember that after the cutting off of the 69 weeks from the 70 weeks, there is yet 1 week left. What takes place during this week is told in the verses that follow. Daniel 9:26-27. And after the 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people, the prince that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice of the animals for the Old Testament to see, and the oblation to see. And that, and for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Just what was to take place during the first 7 weeks of 49 years, I am not prepared to say, but in the end of the next 62 weeks, or 434 years, the Messiah was to be cut off, crucified. During the remaining week, the 70th, he was to confirm the covenant with many, and in the midst of it, he was to be cut off, crucified. That is, there were to be 3.5 years from his baptism unto the crucifixion. And 3.5 years after the crucifixion, in which he was to confirm the covenant. This completes the 70 weeks and brings us until the time the apostles were commanded to go out and preach the plan of salvation of the Brother Everlasting Covenant of Yahshua, that Hebrews 10:19-20, to the Gentiles. One, the New and Living Way. One named Cornelius, a Gentile, and Peter, a Jew, and an apostle, were both given a vision. Cornelius was instructed to see Peter, and Peter was commanded to meet the Cornelius. See Acts chapter 10. For the Jews as a nation failed to make an end of sin, and were therefore rejected, given up for Yahshua's own sacrifice at the end of the first 3.5 years, replaced the sacrificial ceremonial system, and thus he caused the sacrifice to cease in the midst of the week. All this time and event, you see, took place exactly as the Gabriel predicted. Nevertheless, even with the added explanation, Daniel still was not
able
to comprehend all that was in the vision. But as time went on, and as his burden for the deliverance of his people increased, knowing that the time had come, he prayed for the light. This prayer is recorded in the first part of the chapter 10, after which the angel appeared and again explained, Daniel 10:21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of the truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. Daniel was then promised all the light that could be given, not only on the vision of the Daniel 8, but on all that he noted in the scripture of the truth and the connection with the vision. That which the angel showed him is recorded in Daniel 11:12. Chapter 11, you will see, begins with the vision of Daniel 8, with the kings of Medo-Persia and Grecia, as symbolized by the rain, by the ram and the he-goat, in the chapter 8. Then was Daniel told that the explanation at last was sufficient, but that it was impossible for him to understand it all. For the vision was sealed until the time of the end. Chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. By this long prophetic history and geography, as seen in the chapters 11 and 12, the angel brings us up unto the time of the end, unto the time of the cleansing is to take place. Brother, the cleansing started at the Passover 2003 at Kermit, Texas, with Rollis Johnson, as the ancient man before the house, Ezekiel 9:6. It started with him. So the journey of the living started of them 24 years ago. And here is the nature of the cleansing, or 21 years ago, according unto the time, according unto the angel's word, Daniel 12:1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of the trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even unto that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book, by the delivering of the righteous. He thoroughly separates the righteous from among the wicked. for he puts the good fish in the vessel and cast out the bad. Matthew 13:48. He shall cleanse his people from their sin and sinners. Okay, so that started in 2002. He cleanses from the sin of Gilead sinners and the sinners that wouldn't stop their idolatry. He got rid of them. Daniel 12:2-3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some for the everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Okay, for the wicked that arise with the righteous in this next resurrection are also to be separated from the righteous. For the wicked are to be put to shame and everlasting contempt, but the righteous are to be given eternal life. Daniel 4:10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. For the living righteous shall be purified, but the wicked shall become even more wicked. Daniel 12:11-12. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, that was at the sacrifice of the animal at the cross, and the abomination that maketh desert sit up, this shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Okay, so the Beach of Hell give that date as both those dates ended in 1844. Here another block of the time from within the 2300 days is introduced, beginning from the time that the daily is abolished. That's the day it is abolished for the animal sacrifices, but not for the Yahshua sacrifice of the new covenant. For he, Yahshua, was the transition of the two economies. He represented the new sacrifice of the New Testament. And the abomination set up the day represents something which should not have been abolished. Yes, that's right. And the abomination represents something that should not have been set up. Okay. The word sacrifice is, people all of repeating Ellen G. White, it says it is supplied, but it is not. The word sacrifice belongs there, because Yahshua represents the spiritual sacrifice of the New Testament. She teaches that right there in Hebrews 12:18-24. He's a high priest with the blood of sprinkling on a daily basis. That's the new sacrifice in operation. But the blood, his own blood, does not belong in the text, but it does belong in the text. For the light on these, read track number 3 of the Harvest. Okay. This brings in our stuff. This is our contact. This is the 11th hour call. And it's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.